I'd like to welcome Brandon to come and share as he teaches about what Jesus has done in his life this morning. He's teaching us about the benefits of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Brandon, would you welcome Brandon?
You know, teaching and sharing information for me has been a lot easier in the past because I could be confident in the information that I could get up in front of people and share that information in a way that I felt like if I prepared enough that I'd be ready to confidently, you know, share that information with you in a way that you could learn it. But what I want to tell you today is this is quite a different experience. It comes with a warning. And what I would warn everyone here is this, is as you reflect upon your own lives, I grew up in a church where people would get up and testify, and it's quite a bit different to testify than it is to actually give a testimony. A lot of times what you're dealing with when somebody gets up and testifies, they're riding a wave of, you know, they're high, they're happy, life is good, and I want to tell everybody how great it is. But it's a lot different when you share a testimony because you've got to hit the rewind button, and it has to go back a lot farther than just the last 7 days since I was in church. And hitting that rewind button, I will tell you this, you will have a way that you edit your own life sometimes, and you don't look at it in the way that, because you've been through a few things, and maybe you haven't written them down, maybe you haven't really given God the glory of some of the things that you've passed through. So what I would tell you and what I would challenge you to do today as I kind of share my story with you is, and it doesn't have to happen today, think about your own life, and when you're going over your testimony, be prepared. Be prepared for some growth. If I was selling Christianity today, I wouldn't have met my quota, because I'm going to tell you something right now. Being a real Christian is the hardest thing you're going to ever go through in your entire life. It's going to be the most rewarding thing, but it's going to be painful sometimes to go through some of that stuff. So that warning, I think, is a fair thing. It's something that Jay and I talked about in our small men's group. It's beneficial to have somebody that's in this fight with you and on the same road that you are too. So, it's important to share with you that I grew up in a really awesome, amazing Christian home, and I grew up knowing that I was going to be a third generation Nazarene. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but if you've ever had a legacy of somebody that's been in your family, it's been in the military, there's always this expectation, and what I find about expectations is that sometimes I've fallen quite short. But at 5 years old, in a little town, at a church camp, it's Manville, Illinois, and it was a Nazarene church camp at 5 years old in a building that was called Brown Memorial. Some of you guys may know what this place is. It's evolved greatly from basically three posts and a steel shed over the top of it to what now is a full chapel memorial service. But I was there when it was only three poles and a metal roof. And I think what God knew at age five for me is that he knew that he had created somebody that was going to be quite independent and that he was going to have to speak to me really, really, really young. At 5 years old, I heard an actual audible voice that said, "You will do something for me." And I don't know what that would do to normal five-year-olds, but I can tell you this. To this day, I will stand here and tell you that this was a voice that I heard. It wasn't a human being. It wasn't anything else, but it was a presence that was laid on my heart. And what do you do with that? At 5 years old, like I said, the only thing I've been able to reconcile is that somewhere along the line, God knew that he was raising somebody completely independent and knew that he needed to get to me early in life and lay upon that impression upon me very, very quickly. So I've lived now for nearly 35 years trying to figure out what that calling is on my life. We've talked about different people that have dealt with different struggles, and when you're dealing with these struggles, you're trying to figure out, hey, where do I fit in? You know, what does that mean, God? Tell me, reveal that to me. Junior high, high school, grade school, sailed right through. I had an amazing, amazing church. Over 1,200 eyeballs were staring at me in the town of Sterling. I grew up in a Christian church and sailed through that because of the high level of accountability that I had. I had young groups where great teachers that taught me all the Sunday school stories that you learn and that really become a fundamental piece of your Christianity throughout your life. What I can tell you is this, is that There's somebody here today that needs to hear this, and I don't know who it is, but all I can tell you is that there's somebody here that needs to hear this story today, and I don't know why, but it was laid upon my heart to make sure that I shared this. In life, when you're trying to figure out who you are and how you fit in, don't undervalue yourself. The devil has a way of really trying to make you feel undervalued, and I had an aunt. Her name was Aunt Juanita, and even though I grew up in a Christian home, with some of the most amazing parents that you could ever grow up in, was supportive. There was this Aunt Juanita that I had that she was funny, she was jovial, she was goofy, she was weird, but she was a Christian. And let me tell you something, she taught me at a really young age to live out who you are and be who you are. Don't apologize for who you are, because somebody's going to get a blessing out of that. And somebody here today is somebody's Aunt Juanita. And all I can tell you is that you may not have family that you connect with, but there's somebody here that can be that for someone else. So get good with you and get good with being a Christian, because you know what? We're all different. We're all made differently. And it's in the weirdness that I find some of the most amazing people that allow me to get comfortable in my skin. And it's taken a lot of years to get comfortable in my own skin. So be that to somebody. In my years, I've learned that there's somebody out there, there's an aunt, there's an uncle that's going to give that level of accountability that you won't even get from your own family. Even though you may have the most amazing set of family members that I have, you're going to get that, something different. You have something to offer somebody else. That was somebody that pulled the ladder down and helped me up in a huge way. So soared through it, had an amazing teen group. That's what really probably kept me out of more trouble than anything else I can tell you. I had alternatives than what everybody else was dealing with and what everybody else was probably exposed to. So I had these alternatives to do, and I was in church 3 times a week. Post high school, moving right into the college years, I went to Olivet Nazarene University. I saw that shirt there today, you know? And that was an amazing opportunity for me to disconnect from somewhat an emotional level with what my religion was to me, and really grasp things at a very intellectual level. I had professors there that, although I would have to guess that some people would be pretty amazed by some of the real conversations that we had, questioning our own religion and why. I mean, you can't train and not know where your weaknesses are. And I will tell you that I had some amazing influencers at Olivet Nazarene University for the simple fact that I thought I was walking in and they were just going to feed me the juice. And here you go, you know. And I'm telling you, I had had enough of that. I had been to enough Sunday schools and enough vacation Bible schools. I knew all the songs. I knew all the right answers. But at this point, a young man finds himself ready to strike out, ready to do something different, and ready to find things for what they meant for themselves. And that's really the point of life where I was at. Post-college years became a really important time for me, because when I graduated, the economy was amazing. I walked right into a job after spending a month and a half in Romania working with the gypsy kids building homes. And I felt guilty because I came back to a job, and my first year I did amazing. But I knew the importance of getting out and seeing the world and seeing other things, and it was an amazing experience to do what I did. But I came back to an economy and a job where life got easy really, really quickly for me. And I contribute that as really the beginning of the end, the real slide for me. You know, I know Elvis Presley was known for singing the song My Way, but before that, this was the period of my time that I would really have to call it, you know, My Way. And I didn't really need God at that point. The money was great, good times, you know, great friends, and life was easy. It just was not hard for me at all. And that was a real life-changing pivotal moment, because I didn't know how to take success and tie it into my life, because I had lived in a house, especially in a church, that it had always been easy. There had never really been any difficult challenges in my life, and it had never really truly connected with life experiences. Fast forward a little bit more in my life, I can tell you this. I ended up meeting a girl, and I ended up falling in love. And, you know, everybody, this is probably something that happens to you. But again, I was at a point in my life where it was still the my way. And, you know, we met at the least likely place that you want to meet people. And so we weren't equally yoked. We had different priorities at that time. Life was quite a bit different. And we went into our marriage trying to define what our marriage was going to look like when we were already in it, as opposed to really understanding from the get-go what this foundation is going to look like. And I can tell you this, young people, if there's anybody there today listening, I've lived, you know, multiple lives. And, you know, today when I was preparing my testimony, I just said to God, I'm like, if this was the last thing I could tell people, what would my tombstone say? What would the last few words of my life want to be? And what I will tell you this, you know, young people and even old people, I mean, people that are not with people that are divorced, go into whatever relationship with knowing what your outcome you want it to be. Don't go into it blind, because I can tell you that God is a planner. And he's got a plan for our life. And, you know, I was that little kid standing up on the outside. And that's really no way to win life. Moving on, I can tell you, because of that relationship being what it was and where it started, I went into an area in my life where after 9/11, this was another very pivotal moment in my life where I had seen the Twin Towers fall. And I was somebody that at the time really felt like, man, there's nothing I could do about this. And I always wanted to do something about it. And I was out of shape, wasn't taking care of my life at that time. I decided to get in shape, started working out. Had intentions of going into the Navy because the Navy SEALs, I thought, man, these guys are the toughest guys out there. This is what I want to do. I trained. I passed all the physical qualifications to do it. At this point in my life, I'm getting really serious about the girl that I'm with, and I ask her to marry me with the caveat, the buyer beware, hey, listen, I want to go to the military. And specifically, I don't want to just do what some average Joe can do. I feel led to be a leader in a way that's totally different. And I went in, and it was a very pivotal moment in our relationship. And what I could tell you about the military is this, is there's a lot of casualties that will never be counted on our different memorials, because it's not a loss of a life or an arm, but it's a loss of a lifestyle. It's a that ripple effect, that rock that gets thrown in the pond, and then the ripple effect that exudes out from there. Went in, ended up joining an anti-terrorism unit, and spent my time in Iraq as a combat medic serving the Marine Corps. What I can tell you is this. That experience was an experience that was a life-changing experience. And I look at my life much probably how we've divided the time of before Christ, you know, BC to AD. In my life, that was a pivotal moment when I got out of the service. It had changed me. And what I would love to do is to stand here today and tell you all that that was a life-changing experience that made me a better man. Now, that might be true now, but I can tell you at the time it was not true. What do I have to say about that? Choose peace. I can tell you this, whether it's in war or whether it's in war with the people that we're around on a daily basis, I will choose peace over war, because war fundamentally changes who you are. It doesn't change them, but it changes you, and that's what it did to me. It changed me. Again, getting back to those casualties, it wasn't an arm or a leg. You could see me standing in front of you. I looked healthy. I looked healthy, but I was broken. Post-traumatic stress is a real thing. High levels of anxiety are a real thing. Not being able to sleep through the night, sweating, and to the point where your clothes are completely sweated through, and the bed that you're laying on, it feels like somebody came and threw a bucket of water on you. Your body's betraying you. And when your body betrays you in that way, your mind betrays you as well. And I went through a really hard period in my life. And I can honestly tell you this, I was not a better man as a result of that experience. And my marriage suffered as a result of that. This leads me to where some of my lowest points in my life that I want to share with you, because I think somebody here today is here to hear this. And I grew up in a church, again, just to go back to this, you heard about people's best week. You didn't hear about the worst week and all of the stuff that went through with it with that. I remember the impression in my mind at the time of thinking about the 500 things I was going to have to do to dig my way out of where I was at. And it was an insurmountable list of things that just kept replaying over and over and over again in my mind. And I thought, this is like that giant elephant that they always talked about that you're going to have to eat. And I can tell you that experience of thinking through those things were some very dark days. At this point, I had a very young daughter, and for nearly 2 years, I wasn't getting the time that I should have with that daughter. So brokenness is a thing that all of us deal with in a very different way. And for me, losing that relationship, losing that relationship with my daughter, losing my marriage, all things that I didn't want, that I didn't want to have happen. But then you've got to find, how do I pick up the pieces afterwards? And that's the hardest part. And I can tell you that this week has been no easy task, because I've had to go back and redredge some of those things up. Eventually, I decided to move back home. My daughter was back here with, at this point, close to my ex-wife. And we had moved back here. And this was during the worst part of the economy. I ended up losing a job in 2008, late 2008, 2009. And again, life had been really easy for me, but the economy hit, and I lost my job, and I was doing really, really well. And it changed everything. You go from a job loss to dealing with what you're dealing with after being in the military and seeing a few things and being a part of a few things that you wish you wouldn't have been a part of. What I can tell you is that 2 years without my child, without my daughter, was a very, very tough experience. If you've dealt with loss of a family member, specifically death, I will tell you that death would probably been easier, because closure at some point becomes a reality. To be able to see a body in a casket, to be able to go through the different stages of mourning. But if you've lost somebody, if you lost a relationship with somebody, you'll be able to connect with this. But what I can tell you is that God is a God of reconciliation. 2 years I spent, because I didn't have a really decent job, I had to spend my time working on the road. I worked for the University of Chicago and traveled, and I went to people's homes all over the United States. At this time, I really felt like this was almost a time of preparation that I couldn't figure out why, but people intimately let me into their homes, and I shared coffee and tea and donuts and all over the United States, East Coast, West Coast, every point in between. I ended up being one of the top field interviewers for the University of Chicago, and during that time, I learned more about humanity and more about people. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're black, you're white, Hispanic, you know, whatever you are, we all pretty much want the same thing. We all want peace. We all just want to spend time with our family. And at the end of the day, when you have money, you're not really up. And when you don't have money, you're not really down. It's just one of these things that we have to have to make it through our life. But I will tell you this, what I learned through that experience is, from interviewing people from literally a trailer park to Park Avenue, guys that didn't have $5 to their names and guys that didn't have any less than $5 billion to their names, when their families walked in the door, they lit up. The same guy that was in the trailer park was excited to see his kid as that billionaire on Park Avenue when their kids walked through. That spoke to my heart. It gave me moments of peace, even though I was living in the darkest parts of my storm at that time. What I can tell you, most of all, what I've learned is, during this time, I had the opportunity to develop one of the most amazing friendships that turned into the most amazing relationship that I've experienced outside of my relationship with God, and that is with my wife, Ange. During the 2 years when I was on the road, I was consistently gone. Over 3.5 weeks out of the month, I was gone. But we developed a friendship, and a true friendship, one that didn't have really, honestly, because of the geographical location, the temptations with the physical part of it, because we became friends. And during that, her sharing that pain with me and going through that has been one of the most amazing, uplifting experiences. And what I can tell you about her is, she grew up in a home that her father was a pastor. In a lot of ways, even though my dad was not a pastor, my mom was not in the ministry, I grew up in a home very much like hers. You know, we talk about being equally yoked. People may have heard that. You may have heard that. People that come from a similar background, people that had traditional values. What I can tell you is that relationship was a very healing relationship. And God's given me back so much more than I had before. And I don't look at it, dollars and cents. How much money do I have in my pocket? How much peace do I have in my pocket? You know, that's what's more important than anything else I can honestly tell you. And I've been through some of these very, very dark days. But what has it been? I'll tell you this. For me, it's been the things of my past, the anchors in my past that have really, truly helped me find it through the hard times and the storms. And there's actually a song, if you would just start playing that in the background. The Anchor Holds is a song that really is something that I connected with me. And again, it gets back to what I was saying before. If I could say one thing, if I could leave one message in your heart today, I'm going to tell you this. My testimony has not been one that's been easy. And you're going to find that I know that in your heart too, that life has not been easy for you. But pain is pain. It doesn't matter if you're Jay that didn't have a dad that was there for you, or whether you're a guy like me that was blessed and had a family that was there for you but made mistakes. Pain is pain. It doesn't matter. Don't minimize other people's lives just because they're feeling pain. And sometimes we get in this outside perspective and look at people and think, oh man, their life has been pretty easy or whatever it may be. But absolute pain is absolute pain. And all of us have felt it and been through it. But what I can tell you is, if I had one song that would summarize how I feel, this song is truly it for me. And this is an old song that goes really far back. And it talks about a ship. It's been battered. You're going to be battered. You're going to be tossed around. But God is that anchor for us. In the craziness of life, you know, it's a huge, huge sea out there. And our boat is really, really small. But if you can attach to the anchor that can see you through these things, the most life-changing thing I can tell you is this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. If I had to fundamentally tell you one thing that's different about me today, if I could tell you one thing that's different about me today than the man that I was before, see, I used to ask my day. I used to come to my God like probably these people you see in different countries, going to the Buddha, going to these high places to try to find a man that's got an answer for you. And what I can just tell you today, standing in front of you, I don't have an answer for you, okay? You've got your own unique set of problems, and I am not equipped to be able to solve those problems for you. And I'm not going to give you the peace of mind to feel an answer in your heart, but I'm going to give you a peace that's going to be a little bit different than what other people will tell you, because there's something that I have found. It's not about the questions you ask, like, why God me? Why did I go through this divorce? Why did I have to go to war and see what I saw, and why did it change me? I'm not asking for that anymore. My day starts off quite a bit differently, and it starts off with a question instead of, God, I'm seeking an answer, and that's, what can I do for you? It fundamentally changes your heart when you start asking what I can do for others. You know, we've all heard that speech, you know, ask not what you can do for your country, but ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Well, there's a way that you can change that. And I think that's a universal truth that God put out there. And it may have been, you know, a guy that was our president that said that, but it's a fundamental truth that's somewhere in these scriptures. And I think that that's where it really comes from. And what I would challenge you today is, you go through your testimony, start asking questions and ask the right ones. You know, what can I do for you, as opposed to, God, help me get over this, or why did this happen to me? Because the truth is pain, and it's going to happen to you, and it's going to happen to me, and I can't give you answers to those questions, but I can tell you that there's a question that you need to ask, and that's when life changed for me. If you would, just if you join me just in your hearts and in your minds, and just listen to the song, because there's some real fundamental truth. I don't want to be up here in front of this while this plays, but I want you to listen to these words, because this is a song that I've connected with. And if I had one testimony to give, if I had one song I can sing before I died, this would be it for me. Like they were only grains of sand. Oh, the anchor hold. Though the ship is battered, the sails are tumbled, but I have fallen on my knees, as I faced the raging seas. Oh, the anchor holds, in spite of the storm.
Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn.